Thanks for joining us at the Digital Leaders Podcast, where leaders of the digital economy share business advice from their professional experiences. Our guest today is Marco Messner, who is a partner and co-founder at Mazing, an augmented reality company. Marco started his business during the pandemic, initially making filters for Instagram as a side hustle. But since then, he's transformed the company into a global player in the AR space with clients all across the globe. Marco joins us today to chat about life as an entrepreneur and share some of the strategies that you can use to transform your side hustle into a full-time business. Oh, it looks like Marco is ready. Let's get started.
My name is Marco. I'm born and raised in Austria, not Australia, so we don't have kangaroos here. I'm still in my 20s, so 20 years old, and basically been always super interested in technology and new technology, in particular everything that is related to digitalization. And now I'm happily here with you in this podcast.
And Marco, it's amazing to have you here. Thank you for joining us from Austria. I'm super excited to have this conversation with you because you, Marco, truly embody the spirit of our audience. You are an amazing digital entrepreneur. You started a company in the middle of a pandemic, and now your services are basically in demand across the globe. First question I have for you is, what does it feel like to go from having an idea to being a success in just a few months?
Well, basically, it's all about just getting started. And one really cool starting point was, unfortunately, the pandemic, because everyone had some spare time. And I myself also had some spare time from my regular job. And during that period, I actually got to sit down and really get to do things. Because as we know, you know, just from having an idea, nothing really comes out. You really have to sit down or really have to start producing something. And in 2020, when the pandemic hit in Austria and everyone was in lockdown, I had the idea or the time to start developing Instagram filters, which was quite interesting and something very different to what I typically do. But it also got me thinking about the new technologies and how the new technology, especially in these terms, augmented reality can be used. And Instagram and the Spark AR, as their platform is called, gives creatives and people who just want to get started a very good starting point, even with a little bit of knowledge from everything. That was kind of the starting point initially for this whole thing that we're doing now.
Yeah, it seems like in spite of what was happening during the pandemic, there were still many opportunities that popped up for us. And, you know, if you were an entrepreneur and you embody the spirit of an entrepreneur like you do, you're able to find those opportunities and seize them. But you've been doing so well. You know, you've been telling me that you have clients across the globe. How does it feel? Is it a good feeling? Are you anxious? Are you excited? Because everything has really sort of taken off in the last year or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, after that, it started off, but we kind of realized that doing just Instagram filters and developing a service on demand, more or less, is not really scalable. So we actually took the wind out of the sails a little bit and stepped back again and said, hey, we need to do something different. And then I kind of gathered a team of super talented people to think about what kind of service we can create out of that knowledge that we gained from creating Instagram filters that can be used across the globe. It's very simple to use for everyone who wants to engage with that. And a super simple web application basically was the result of that. And we took about half a year in product development, and purely product development. And then after that, we got into customer relationship, building customer relationships, first locally in German-speaking countries, and really trying to develop together with them the more or less finished product, but also now the product is never finished. There are so many add-ons and so many new ideas that we constantly have. So to answer your question, it's incredibly exciting. It's super fast moving. So the whole area from e-commerce to NFTs, the whole technology world, I think is moving so fast. So we have a really, really cool time to be in. And in that terms, we can make the most out of it.
Yeah, you've really made the most out of the opportunity. And I think that this is actually a pretty good transition. So before we get too deep into our topic today, which is sort of around what entrepreneurs can do to turn their side hustle into a full-time business, like you've basically done. Before we get too deep into that, you've been telling us a bit about your company, about the Instagram filter site, but I know you do way more than that. So can you just take a minute and tell us about your company? I know that it's in the augmented reality space, but give us an idea about what you do and how you help brands to create digital experiences.
So our service is basically a fully web-based functionality that makes it very easy for everyone who has a phone to experience augmented reality. The idea basically came from the fact that sometimes it's very difficult to imagine products, how they look in your room. So that was the starting point. And we said we wanted to develop a very easy to use solution for everyone who visits a website to actually bring their digital product or their product in their house, coming very strongly from the furniture industry. But now basically we are across many industries, from the traveling industry to NFTs, because it's just very simple to use. And people like it. People like to take pictures of their digital items in any place.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So I've gotten into NFTs and Web3 recently, and there were tons of opportunities there for augmented reality. You sort of see whether it's PFPs and people taking those into the metaverse, or taking your NFTs and then turning those into games. But then you're doing some really cool stuff on the furniture side, where you're taking photos, like almost like two-dimensional photos of furniture, and then you can, with a smartphone, sort of allow people to place those into their rooms using their cameras, and so they can see exactly what a piece of furniture, let's say maybe a couch from IKEA, just as an example, would look in a particular room, whether the colors would match, the colors of your other pieces of furniture, and whether or not the size, how it's going to fit. Am I saying that correctly?
Perfect. I mean, that's the good challenge always. If someone else explains your product, and if you agree with that, then you did a good job in explaining your product in that case myself. So yeah, that's correct. And you mentioned it, the IKEA app, the Place app is a good example. It's basically this application, with the only difference that you don't need an app to download from. So it also enables smaller companies and smaller e-commerce brands to use it as well, rather to have a full app development team doing that for you.
Oh, I got you. Okay. And so now I'm beginning to understand the business model a bit more. Okay. That's amazing. Well, thank you, Marco, for explaining that to us. Let me bring this back to the audience now. Let's get the audience back involved, because I know you have a wealth of knowledge, and I'd really love for you to give some advice to our audience about what it takes, like we were saying, to turn a side hustle into a full-time business and really escape sort of that corporate grind. I know that you're actually still engaged on the corporate side, but you've still been able to just take your business and have it take off. Are you up for having that conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned it. On the one hand, I see a lot of opportunity also in being involved in both areas as well, corporate world and startup world, because you can learn so much from each other, and even apply it. You might think that a startup operates totally different than a corporate and the other way around, but you can always bring concepts into the corporate world, but also take concepts from the corporate world and apply it in a startup, such as having a proper product development process. So yeah, that's the one thing. And you asked the question regarding having or giving some advice, and my two main points are basically having partners and find partners on your idea who really like your idea and really want to take that journey on within, and as well set some time aside. And when you start something, you really need to be sure about that and really say, okay, I really need that time, and really also take that time and set time aside.
Yeah, you know, actually, yeah, I do remember when we spoke offline, those were two of the things that you said were most important to you, or most influential in sort of your journey. So why don't we start with the second point about setting time aside? A lot of times entrepreneurs would say it feels like they're not enough hours in the day because you have your day job and you're working 9 to 5, maybe more, just depending on how demanding that job is. And then, you know, you have to then make time for your family and for your friends and your hobbies and so forth. And it can be difficult to find the time to work on your project. True. What kind of advice would you give specifically to someone who sort of finds themselves in that situation? Or maybe you can tell us, what did you do?
Yeah, to bring it to the point, basically what I did was really using the time when I'm in the train or in public transport to work. So I did, you know, you have your phone, everything is in your phone. Basically, you are able to work kind of full time from your phone, especially if you have a digital business, or even if it's a drop shipping business, you can answer messages from your phone, you can reach out to people, make partnerships from your phone, everything is possible from your phone. And you can also use, you know, the lunch break, or you're not on the way home. Ideally, I would say I always invested, when I was still working full time, about 2 to 3 hours a day working on the side hustle, because you need to have also this kind of continuity, which is really important in my opinion. That's why someone would ask me, can I do a side hustle only on the weekends? I would say this is going to be very difficult, because people or customers or partners, they would like to hear from you more often than just on the weekend. And most of them don't work on the weekend as well. So ideally is set yourself a target to use your spare time, or typically non-productive time, to work on your business, and not really sacrifice too much your family or something like that, and really say, okay, well, after I get home, I do spend a couple hours with my family as well. And maybe at 10 p.m., I take another hour to 11 p.m. and then try to have a good and fast sleep as well. And that's also really important, to not work every day until 3-4 in the morning and then sleep 4 hours. Sleep is incredibly important. And yeah, so be aware of that as well. And mind your health.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad that you brought that in at the end. And sleep is something that I'm just now sort of, like, that whole issue around your sleep cycle and making sure that you get enough sleep is something that I've recently started taking a lot more seriously. I was one of those persons who would be up at 3 a.m. still editing podcasts and making web pages look good and all of that stuff. But I really like the way that you phrased it. It's about using your non-productive time. So not taking time away from your family and your kids, but sort of maybe like waiting until the young ones have gone to bed. And when you've got a few hours to yourself before it's time for you to go to bed, and then you're able to knock out some ideas. And then when you have some time to yourself, maybe on the weekends or, like you said, on the train, you can respond to messages, or just use that opportunity to think about your business and think about where you want it to go. I think for a lot of people too, the thing to realize is when you have a business and you're really trying to take it from side hustle to full-time business, at that point, it stops being a hobby. And so you have to be committed to it. And there's a certain amount of dedication, right? And did you feel that as well, that it went from a hobby to something that was really serious and you were committed to?
Absolutely, absolutely. And especially, I mean, the first point that I mentioned, finding partners, is one key aspect to that. Because working alone, I mean, in my case, it's not that much fun. But if you really have partners and team members working on the same idea and working towards the same vision, which is basically to bring a lot of virtual products, in our case, into people's houses or into people's home, then it's getting really interesting. And then also, as you mentioned, you kind of switch from a hobby to a real business, because other people are involved as well, and other people are dedicating their time towards that as well. And one thing, it's harder to quit. If you say, okay, there are 3-4 people working on it, and everyone is putting their sweat and tears into it, then you don't want to just stop. And if you are working just by yourself, I think it's a little bit easier to say, okay, I don't want to continue anymore. I'll tell my friends, well, it wasn't that good of an idea, or it didn't work out because of several reasons. But if you really have a cool atmosphere and a cool team spirit, that helps absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. You're absolutely correct. So if you have other people on the team, it becomes a little bit more difficult to just walk away, because there are other people counting on you at this point, especially if you've been involved with it since the very beginning. You can't just sort of leave everyone. That looks really bad, but then you feel bad to know that you're walking away from people. And then in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, now they have the opportunity to continue this idea forward. And what if they do? What if it's successful and I walk away? That's happened to lots of entrepreneurs, right? You step out like a day too early, because the next day, then they sign that really big deal, or they sell the company, and it's too late for you. But
true, yeah.
The question I have for you, I'm really interested in your journey to find partners. How did you locate your partners? Were they friends that you knew ahead of time? And how what was the decision that you made that said, you know, okay, these are the people I'm going to work with?
Yeah, it's a good question. and the funny story to that, actually. So one of the co-founders, who is now our super, super fantastic developer or head of development, I met him at a startup event. Now it's been 7 years ago. And we kind of had already the same vision and, you know, the same energy level of producing and doing something together. So after that startup event already, we started to create smart contracts together. So back in the time, NFTs wasn't that big of a thing. It was 2018, I think, that we just did something and then kind of lost track of it and lost track of each other also a little bit, because we said, well, didn't work out that well, or in that sense that we thought it's going to work. But we still kind of always had this personal connection, not so much into business. So he's one, and then the other partner is my brother, which, yeah, we have some kind of relation, and of course, you know, I trust him very intensely. So yeah, and he always wanted to do something on his own. So he's a little bit younger than myself. He's 4 years younger, and he said, I always want to do something on my own. And then this opportunity came along, and together then we formed it. So in 2020, then when we started with this Instagram idea and Instagram filters, I reached out to Stefan, his name is Stefan, and asked, hey, what do you think about that idea? And what is there some opportunity to bring that functionality outside of applications to be downloaded? And from then it kind of formed.
Oh, okay, great. I love that. Yeah, you're bringing your family members in, but then also connecting with really cool people that you've known from your past and sort of bringing them back on board. And so it's really about like finding the right skill sets and the right sort of people with the right attitudes that you connect with. Because having partners is really about having people that you're willing to work with, and not just people who have the right skill sets, but you have to sort of be willing to be in the trenches with them, so to speak, because you're working on this thing and everybody's trying to make it successful. The other part of this conversation that I think you alluded to a little bit in your earlier statement was around partnerships versus outsourcing. So the other thing that a lot of entrepreneurs do is they'll outsource to some of that work rather than going out and finding permanent partners. What's your thought on outsourcing?
I think depends on what kind of service you want to outsource. But in our, or in my personal experience, if you have a really strong vision, it's easier if you find a partner who is willing to go that way together with you rather than outsourcing. In my opinion, it's always a short-term thing, and you can do outsourcing for certain tasks that are quite concrete and you can define them quite clearly. But if you have a vision and not 100% defined tasks for the job to be outsourced, then a partnership is easier to facilitate, and also you're more flexible, I think, especially in product development. Unless the idea is super concrete and you know very exact what you want to have, if you say I want to have an app that is very similar to Twitter or to Tinder, then definition is quite concrete. If you want to keep your flexibility in terms of product development, then partnerships make more sense, as well as the commitment. A partner, or if you bring someone on board on the early stage, then you form the idea together, and it's, you share a common product. It's not like it's someone had the idea. In our case, that was never the discussion who had the idea or something like that. It was always from the very beginning clear that we form that product together and, you know, we work on it together.
Yeah. I think you're right. So, and maybe that's something that I've never thought about before, but when you're starting out and you know, the idea is just sort of in your head, you don't know exactly what it's going to be in the end, it makes more sense to have someone with a bit more flexibility, like a partner, who's able to walk with you through that idea until you get to a place that's concrete. And then when you have really defined tasks that you need to be done, then you sort of bring in outsourcing. Well, Marco, you've been just dropping the knowledge bombs on us today. I'm sure the audience definitely appreciates all of the insight that you've delivered. And I'm conscious of the audience's time. So I want to ask one more question, because I value your opinion and value sort of the insight that you're bringing to us. You've been in this field of entrepreneurship for a couple of years now. You've been doing really well. I'm wondering, what do you think about the future of the world of entrepreneurship, and what are you excited about? Are there any emerging developments that are happening in entrepreneurship in sort of 2022 that excite you?
Yeah, so there are actually two things where I see a very strong development and incredibly a lot of opportunities for all kinds of ideas that come along. And this is absolutely the topic around NFTs. And now it's, in my opinion, very hyped. But still, after that hype, you can still pick the cherries and pick your kind of niche within that. If you're super interested in social media marketing, well, pick the niche of social media marketing for NFTs or for new technologies. In our opinion, we see that as well. Yeah, we're looking for social media experts in the field of augmented reality and how to kind of bring augmented reality closer to people and really market a technology rather than really a product. So I'm super excited about that, also because I see a very strong development from the big tech companies such as Apple, Google, they are all investing a lot into their technology stack. If you're looking at just at the augmented reality topic, you have Snapchat lenses where you can try on shoes virtually. You have the Instagram platform, also TikTok. They are still in a beta phase, but they're going to bring out a very good product as well. So they're really focusing on that. And alongside with that, Apple developing this new AR glasses. Who knows how this is going to look like, but typically whatever Apple drops is very user-friendly and looks cool. If you compare it with the AirPods, I was always like, no, I don't need AirPods, that looks just ridiculous, and now I love them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Why? So, yeah, that whole space around NFTs, AR, VR, the metaverse, all of that stuff seems to be exploding right now. And for the audience, if you're looking for a new area to go in, this is absolutely it. And what's so fascinating about it, there are no experts in this area because it's only like a couple of years old. So you can jump in, learn a bit, you know, get involved with a startup, get involved with a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, do some work and really put yourself, you know, in position to take advantage as this whole economy continues to unfold. So excellent suggestion, Marco. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, as we're wrapping up, I know that there are people who are listening right now who are going to be listening to us and are saying, oh, wow, I wish this conversation would continue. I wish I could get some more information from Marco about what he's got going on. So I want you to let the people know how they can connect with you online, how they can find you and just keep this conversation going. What's the best way to connect with you?
If you want to reach out to me personally, I'm always open for that. So you can always drop me a message and find me on LinkedIn. It's Marco Messner. So typically trying to reply to all messages at least within 24 hours. Sometimes I don't make it, but really it's my personal kind of goal, because you're taking your time to reach out, so I'm taking my time to answer the question as good as possible. But you can also follow our company, it's MazingXR on Twitter, Instagram, or just go to the website, it's MazingXR.com.
Yeah, and for everyone who's listening, if you made it all the way to the end of this conversation, congratulations and thank you. If you look in the description of this episode right now, you'll see links to Marco's LinkedIn, as well as a link to his website at amazingxr.com. We encourage you to reach out to Marco, get to know him, keep the conversation going. Marco, thank you very much for joining us. Sharing this insight, sharing your experiences with the audience. Congratulations to you on the success of your business and your organization. We wish you all the very best as you continue to grow, and we hope that new and amazing things happen for you in 2022. Thank you for joining us, Marco.
Thank you as well, Jay. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and thank you for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.